Okay, so the greeting is a little bit different this morning. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you've done so well. Good morning, everybody. How are you? You good? I'm so glad that you are well, and I'm so glad to welcome you this morning to our Connect service. It's a bit different. Normally, we'd have it on the first Sunday, but Easter Sunday was last week, so we're doing it the second Sunday. And you're most welcome, those who are here present, as well as those who are watching at home and online. Just want to run through a couple of announcements and notices for you this week. On Monday, we've got toddlers returning to this very room, where it is chaos and fun. It is brilliant. Boys Brigade as well is back on tomorrow night. And then Tuesday, we've got the Crafters, Pickleball, and Anchor Boys. And then I just wanted to remind you that half seven Tuesday night, we have our Easter Vestry. And for some of you, you think, oh, well, that's beyond me. I would encourage you to be a part of that. It's a really important time in the life of a parish. When we do our Easter Vestry, we think about who vestry members are going to be, and decisions are made. The rector does a report on the last year. And it's a good thing for you to be involved in that and to know what's going on in your parish as you are what makes this parish what it is. And so that's our yearly sort of meeting that does all that, so you know the health of the church. So that is on Tuesday night, half seven, right here. Wednesday, Holy Communion at half 10, Pilates as well in the evening. Thursday, Zoom prayers. And then next Sunday, we have Holy Communion at 9, morning prayer at 11, and youth fellowship, as well as Compline at 7 o'clock p.m. In our Connect series, what we've been doing over the last wee while is looking at some principles of who we are as a church, things that mean a lot to us, statements, and principles that guide the things that we are and the things that we do. And this morning, we're going to be looking at creation and creation care, and really the heavenly good of earthly work. So that's where we're headed today, and we're going to stand up together as we say our opening prayer and then sing. So please stand with me as we say together, Dear Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise. We ask you to bless our time together today, and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. Friends, we are going to sing two songs, one right after the other, this morning. I know that's a bit different than what we usually do, but they're two really good songs, and they just happen to be in the same key, so it works out really well. So we're going to sing 10,000 Reasons, and then go directly into a song called What a Beautiful Name. Let's sing together.
Song again, whatever may
Please take your seats. We come to that part of our service where we say sorry to God for the things that we have done, the things that we have left undone. And if you remember, we talked through Lent and Easter about the role of confession, both as individuals and as a body. And so we come together today to do this, both as people on our own, but as a gathered body for where we have missed it. And we ask for God's grace and forgiveness. And so we pray together, God of everlasting love. God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and with one another. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all of our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is a little bit longer than usual. And I'm going to ask that you do something a little bit different as well as you hear it. Because it's the story of how it all came to be from Genesis. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, if you're comfortable with that, is maybe close your eyes. Because I'm going to read this, and as I read this, I want you to use your imagination and to place and picture all of these things as they are happening. Okay? Can you do that for me this morning? I know it's a little bit different, but we're down here, and we could be different. Okay? All right, so our reading this morning comes from Genesis, the first chapter beginning at the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land. And gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the sky. So God created the great creatures of sea and every living thing with which the water teems that moves about in it, according to their kinds and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They'll be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We're going to stand together and sing the song, All Things Bright and Beautiful. And while we do this, our kids who are here this morning and want to go to Sunday school can make their way. And we wish you all the best this morning. Let's stand and sing.
Each little flower that only she shares.
We remain standing as we affirm our faith together. Let us declare our faith in God, saying, we believe in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are going to sing together a song called My God is All I Need. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Well, friends, as I had said, we on Connect Sundays the last wee while, we've been looking at these sort of various principles or things that make us who we are, things we aspire to, vision, goals, as well as characteristics of what our parish is in sort of forms. And we've looked at several of these already. So we've got worship, we've got prayer and fellowship, love and hospitality. Families, children, and youth, and their importance. I mean, look at mission, and all these things are they're kind of like Legos. You build a thing, and then you get a nice house out of them. And on their own, they're a great thing. But when you put them together, you see how they work together. One leads to another, leads to another. And one of the things that sort of pops in there that may not be something you think about often is actually creation. And what does it mean to actually look at creation and look at what God has made and care for it? And what is our role in that? What does it look like for us as people, but maybe also as a parish, to think more diligently about all that God has made? And so that's what we're going to do here for the next couple of minutes. We're going to look at this passage in Genesis and ask ourselves a couple of questions about it. Now, like most people, when you turn on the news, it seems a little bit grim, doesn't it? You know, every day I look at the paper this morning and people aren't agreeing on things and, you know, it's madness, right? So you look at these countries right now, Iran, Israel, United States, Lebanon, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Russia, Ukraine, and you have leaders and you have people, and they are seemingly hell-bent on destruction and disagreement. And war and chaos and madness and death. You know, and the logical kind of person kind of sits back and go like, you know, you think back 7 weeks ago, the strait was open and there was no problem. And now we're 7 weeks down the road and they're trying to get to a place that was already what it was before they started fighting. Logic just seems to go out the window and all of a sudden you're sitting there and you think half of the people in the world are bent on the destruction of it. And you go, man, this is grim. This is really grim. But then the other half of the news this week, I couldn't keep my eyes off it. How many of you paying attention to this space mission, Artemis 2? Anybody? Yeah. Goodness gracious. Now, how many of you use social media, have a Facebook account or Instagram or any of those sorts of things? Right? Because this is a new era, right? Because we could see these folks. They were talking to us from the flipping moon. Right. And they're just then they're having a good old time chatting away to us and speaking to us and we're apart. Now I wasn't alive in the late 60s when the Apollo missions happened and the first time they went to the moon and all that sort of stuff. How many of you remember that? Did you stay up and watch it on the television then? Right. Now I have to admit this week, I stayed up with my boys, right, and we watched the launch, and it was really late, and we're sitting in a room watching on a computer, and it goes over, it's like, this is incredible. And when the countdown went and all of that fuel burned in the fire, the sound, it's incredible. It's like, so much power. And they go up there, and they're in space, and they're going, right, and then throughout the week, you're watching what they're doing and hearing what they're saying and the pictures that they're sending back. And then stayed up again late the other night to watch it come back down. And the speed in which this thing is going. Chaos, man. And then parachutes and then splash down. Unbelievable. Unbelievable to think about this. To think about how far away the way. Let's just think about this for a second. 10 days. Right? 10 days they launch it and go, 252,756 miles away is where they headed. And the round trip number of miles of these four astronauts went 694,481 miles. That's a lot of miles. That's a lot of miles. You know, really makes me think about going to the North Coast. That's nothing. I'd be up there for 2 o'clock for a fish and chips, you know what I mean? And speeds. Man, I love going fast. Now, I drive a Jeep, so it doesn't go that fast. But when I was younger, I used to borrow my mom's car. It was a Toyota Celica. That thing could go. There was a hill behind her house. I'd get that bad boy to 130. I thought I was going great, man. Woo! Until my dad found out. That was a problem. Right. 25,000 miles per hour. These folks are going in this space thing. I can't even compute that. I can't even look what my body would do if I was going that fast. And yet, this is the other side of the news this week. We think about this. And what these astronauts offered us this last week, if you're paying attention, was perspective. Perspective. And when we read this story in Genesis and the way that God has created and what he's done and how he's done it, should offer us just a slight bit of perspective. How small are we? How small are we? In the grandness of all that is, that it takes them that long to get to the moon just to go around it. And that's just the thing right next to our planet, let alone the planets themselves that are further and further away. How small are we? How known are we? Man, what a difference in pair. Like you're so small and seemingly in one sense insignificant in the grandness of all that is and all that God has made and all that God has done. Yet, he knows you. He knows the number of hairs on your head or lack thereof. And how loved are you? That's where we are the second week of Easter and this beautiful picture of what happens at the resurrection and the picture of where we go from here and what we do with it. History has changed. Nothing will be the same. Creation is new again. And that's the beauty of this. One of those verses you learn when you're a kid, right? John 3:16, you know this verse. What does it say? Yeah. You're a little unsure of yourself there. God so loved the world. And I remember being in a thing, and you know, this older fella, teacher guy, says, you know, so you know, you replace, you know, God so loved the world. He says, so God so loved Mark, God so loved Ryan, God so loved Ken. Right? Yes. But I actually almost want to take that back and say, you know what, actually what that word is cosmos. For God so loved the world, so God so loved the cosmos, all that he's made, everything that's in existence, the whole universe and its expanding nature and the bigness of it all. He loved it all so much that heaven has come into earth in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, and he has gone to the cross to redeem all of it. All of it. And that should mean something for us as we live in it. And that perspective that our dear friends, the astronauts, gave us this last week, as they were apart from it, looking down on it in a unique way that not very many human eyes have ever seen from that perspective. And their response was, we're all in this together and we live on this beautiful place and we actually ought to do a bit more to take care of it. Because when we see what God has done and the nature of what he says about it, we have a duty, and actually it's a biblical duty in which he gives us at the very beginning of this story and how he's made it. So the first thing we see is that God made it. The creator God who created the heavens and the earth, he has thrown it into existence. How many of you, when you had your eyes shut and were listening to this story, were in your mind imagining the world as it came to be? What was that like for you? Probably pretty cool. What kind of trees did you think of? What kind of plants did you think of? What kind of fish and birds did you imagine just poofed into the frame? Right? Was it a tropical place? Or was it a mountainous place? What was it like to create all that is in your mind? I should tell you a little bit of something about the way that God made us, because out of nothing, he made it. And then out of nothing, in your own mind, you made a world as it was being described to you. Not one of your worlds was alike. Now, you might have thought about like Tollymore Forest Park or something, because that's what I think of when I think of the beauty of creation. I go there. Point is that God made it. And in making it, he made it good. And he says so. He calls it very, very good. The second thing we say is, as God has made it, he then makes us in his very image, right? So at the end of that, in verses 26, let us make humanity in our very image. And then he gives humanity a task. What is humanity meant to do with God's creation? Rule over it. Not in a domineering sort of way, but to tend it, to care for it, to look after it. In fact, the first thing that God does with Adam is, just, you know, mate, you see all that out there? Name it. Name it. How many of you have an animal at home? You got a dog, you got a cat. How significant is it when you name your pet? It's significant, is it? Right? Because the nature of that dog or the nature of that cat, and they sort of come into the character of who they are and what they do. You know, if you've got a dog called Rufus, you can think in your mind what Rufus is going to be like. Right? Yeah? Or a dog called Caleb. Exactly. You know what Caleb's going to be like. Different than Rufus. How many of you have children? How much time and effort and thought went into naming of a child? Yes, God says to humanity, he says, go out and name it, take care of it, look after it. And that's what we see, and that's what I want us to think about today, is actually our responsibility in care for what God has made as an act of obedience, but also as an act of worship, because that's what it was. God says, I made this, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, and now I want you to look after it. And in doing so, and in obedience, that work becomes an act of worship unto me, the one who has made this beautiful thing. So as they name it, the work becomes an act of worship, and care then is an act of worship. Care, creation care, responsibility becomes an act of worship unto God. And it becomes an act of following in our discipleship after Jesus. Because Jesus has come and he's made all those things new. That which was broken. When you think of the fall that happens in Genesis 3 and the temptation and humanity following after their own heart, what Christ does is he opens and rips that veil open and he says, follow after me. So our discipleship is following after Jesus. It's obedience. But it's not merely a human endeavor. It's also an endeavor in which we take care of that which God has made and which God has called good. In fact, he's called it very good. And in calling it very good, he's never reneged on that. Never once in all of Scripture does God say, no, this creation that I've made, it's not good anymore. He said some of the things that he's made have deceptive hearts. Right? And he deals with that in judgment and justice and mercy. But the creation that he's made himself, never once has he called it anything but very good. And never once has he reneged on our tending and caring for that which he has made as a devoted act to him. God called it good, and he never said otherwise. So there's two things that you're going to do. Okay? In light of this, in light of this story, in light of what God has done, the first thing that you're going to do, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Marvel in it. Wonder at it. Because it's beautiful. Isn't it? You go for a walk, you see the trees, you see the sea, the warmth of the sun, the discovery of language, the sound of music. All of these things should overwhelm your senses with a sense of, oh, God loves me so much, he's given me all these things. And everything that you discover becomes another way to understand the nature of God, who in his otherness is sometimes unknowable, but he's left us all of these things to help us understand who he is. When I think about those four folks going up to space, and I hear Mission Control talking about the technical things of science and physics and math and speed and heat shields and angles, so beyond my comprehension, yet in it I'm in awe and I'm in wonder. Enjoy it, friends. Enjoy it thoroughly. Don't take it for granted. You live in one of the most beautiful places in the world. I've been to a lot of places in this world, and I live in Northern Ireland. I pinch myself every day that this is where I live, and this is where God has called me to live. I can be at the sea in 15, 20 minutes. I can be in the mountains in 25 to 30 minutes, depending on how fast I drive. Right? It's a beautiful thing. So enjoy that beautiful thing. The second thing that you've got to do is you've got to care for it. You've got to care for it. There are things that you can do tangibly that are very simple, right? Turn the lights off when you're not in a room. That's a good one. I should tell my kids over and over to turn the lights off, right? Conserve energy, right? Think about what you're using, how much you're using, how often you're using it. Think responsibly. Like you're not going to be able to change everything, but you are going to be able to change some of your habits because of your intent to take care of what God has made. There are things we can do as a parish, things that we're looking into as a parish. Like, how do we be more sustainable? How do we be more carbon friendly? How do we manage those sorts of things to take care of what God has given us? Ultimately, taking care of it is a continuation of the resurrection, of our faith, of what God has done. When Christ raises from the dead and he brings in and ushers in this new reality of the kingdom of God in the world that he has made, and we follow after it, there's a responsibility for us to follow after Jesus and his risen nature to the kingdom of God in simple obedience. Go and make disciples of all men. Yes. Take care of what God has made. Yes. Enjoy it. That's what we were made to do. If you go back to the very beginning and hear the story again, when God makes us in his likeness, what was our task? Look after it. Rule over it. Love it. Bear witness to the kingdom of God on the earth that God has made for his glory and for his love. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for all that you've done and how all of these things tie in together, and that each step in our journey of discipleship opens a whole nother world of how much you care and love us. Lord, we thank you for that which you have made, this beautiful creation, this wonderful land. We ask that you would give us the ability to enjoy it with gratefulness and to defend it well. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray for the church that you've established in your creation to bear witness to your kingdom. We thank you for all that have come before us. We ask that as we continue to bear fruit, that we would look after what we have. We pray for our bishop, David. We pray for clergy, that they may be led by the Spirit to proclaim your love, and that they would lead not only the harvest fields of people, but also stand steadfast in taking care of that which you have made. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Living God, your Son, Jesus Christ, lived and worked in this world, and he knew its hatred and its war to disease and its sin. Lord, help us find a way out of complacency towards mercy and progress, a way out of division towards harmony, a way out of selfishness towards cooperation, a way out of death towards life. Lord, grant our leaders wisdom, restraint, and a desire for fair and just dealing. Channel the strong desire for peace among many people in the world into useful and constructive ways of being active peacemakers. Lord, bring your own rule of peace among those made in your very image through Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we lift up our own parish and community. We pray for our fellowship. We pray that our gathered events would be fruitful for deeper discipleship and love with you, but that we would grow in deeper spirituality and a deeper fellowship and walk with one another, that we would encourage one another towards your love and bear witness to the goodness of the world. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord God, whose Son Jesus Christ understood people's fear and pain before they spoke of them, we ask that you would look after those who are broken and hurting. Lord, we pray for those who are not with us because they're in hospital, at home, or in care. Lord, surround the frightened with your tenderness. Give strength to those in pain. Hold the weak in your arms of love, and give hope and patience to those who are recovering. Lord, in your mercy. The good things, good Lord, that we have prayed for, give us the grace to work for. And in the purpose of your love, both answer our prayers and prosper our endeavors as we place all of our desires into the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, I'll ask you to stand with us as we sing the song, Morning Has Broken. And then after that song, we'll sing another song, Above All Power, at which point we will take the offering. So let's stand and sing.
Oh,
Well, friends, as we go out into the world and think about all that we've heard today, we're going to say this prayer together. We go into the world. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your words listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we think about the greatness of God and all that he has made and all that he has done, especially for now, we think a week after Easter, the reality of resurrection, the reality of where we go and what we step into. We're going to sing our closing hymn together, How Great Thou Art.
My God, when I in awesome wonder.
as we go enjoy it and take care of it, we go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.